Man, well, good morning again. I am Pastor Kirby, and it is wonderful, wonderful to be with all of you. My wife and kids are still in Wyoming, so just give you an update on that. I'm going to fly out on Friday to pick them up and drive them home. Hopefully, we'll be here Monday. We're still trying to sell a house. We're under contract. It's a mess, whatever. Can't get the house here until that's done, and Anyways. But remember, God's good. So what I'm holding on to, because houses sometimes aren't. So anyways, that's us. Great to have you. If you're a guest, again, there's a welcome card. You're welcome to fill that out. Fill out any prayer requests. We'd love to follow up with you on that. Drop it in the offering at the end of the service. This week, hashtag Project Impact. Thank you. I will get this. I haven't even been there, so they haven't given me a shirt yet. It's not good. Impact Together. I see a couple. Wednesday night. So we take the hands and feet of God and take them into our community and serve and love people very practically. So there's information on that and all the dates of things coming up. We'd love to connect with you and have us, Living Hope, serve the community in that way. So contact the office for more information. Speaking of, Sheila's on a much deserved vacation this week. So if the phones don't get answered like that, bear with us, please. So anyways, pray for Sheila and Jeff and their kids and their time. And a vacation is much needed. This last week, we had a group of, I don't mean to blind everybody, people go down to Mexico and serve there in the hands and feet of some of the people down there and have some building projects. And they partnered with Mitchell and a couple other places, and they brought back this amazing little plate that showed that they served Miriam and her other names. But Miriam, they served Miriam and built a place for her. And this is what I thought was really cool. So we have this little place in the Lincoln Coffee Shop, kind of in the corner there, that shows the different ways Living Hope has served and done missions. And there's reminders of the work that has been done. So I'm going to set this back there, and I'd love to have you stop by sometime and just look over those. And it's a great reminder and remembrance about the things that we have done that we should never forget. And I'm going to put this here so I don't fall off the stage, because it's not good. I even taped it this morning or this last week. I think Andrew laughed at me, but that's okay. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Numbers chapter 27. If you don't have your Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. You are welcome to take that home with you. It's also on the screen. You can use your Bible app on your phone. I'm just going to trust you with that either the app is not the Facebook app, but we're getting into God. So Numbers 27, I'm going to read from the NIV this morning just to keep you abreast of that. But every day we are in transition. Everything in our life is transition. With the moment a child, from beginning labor to the time the child comes out, is a transition. And then once that child's in this world until they move out, that's a transition. When they move out, have kids, it's a transition. Right? Everything is transition. When you are sleeping and you go to being awake, you transition from sleep to being awake. Some of us make that transition very slowly, with help of outside substances. I love it. Bean water. It's good. So my father-in-law has transition lenses. Anybody have transition lenses? You know what those are? Yeah, a couple of you. They are prescription glasses that when you go outside into the sunlight, they turn into sunglasses. Okay? So he has transition lenses. They transition naturally for him. It's great. But every part of our life is in transition all of the time. And the dictionary defines transition this way. Transition is a movement, passage, or change from one position, state, subject, concept to another. As such, I am moving. There is a transition from the stage. Everything is in transition. And by this definition, I can't help but think that that's where my life is at right now. And in fact, Living Hope Wesleyan Church is in this place as well. We're in a transition. Things are changing and moving with us. Last week, Pastor Andrew did a great job of laying out one of the ways that we are to follow God. And then I'm here this week, And then next Sunday, you get to learn again from Pastor Andrew because I'm going to go pick up my family because I love them and I want them with me. Where it's transitioning. And in transition, oftentimes it feels weird, but great. You think of a child, there's that excited anticipation of coming into the world, but also the utter terror of a child coming into this world. There's all sorts of emotions and feelings, and I think we have the same thing here at the church and in our lives, and there's anticipation, there's excitement, there's nervousness and worry. What's this guy going to do, right? Don't screw it up. I'm going to set the bar low. Just know that now. I'm going to set it low. But we're always in transition. We're always moving. So we're going to look today at one of the greatest transitions, I think, there ever was. Not just in the Bible, but in general. It gives us a beautiful picture of a healthy, godly transition. And it's found in Numbers chapter 27. Okay, would you follow along with me? We're going to start down in verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. Now I want us to notice something that is vital to our understanding of this passage, not only of this passage, but of this transition. And this transition was ordained and illustrated by God. It was given by God. It wasn't something Joshua vied for. It wasn't something Moses campaigned for. It was given by God at the appointed time, by the Lord speaking to the current leader at the time, who was Moses. Several months ago, God began speaking to many different people about our current transition. Many people were involved in this, and the Lord started speaking, and people started listening and obeying, which leads us to this place of transition. God began the process months ago. Also notice that God guided the transition with Moses and Joshua. It says this, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit of leadership." God told Moses who the next leader would be. It's God who decides this. All we do as leaders and followers in the church is we pray, we listen, and obey. It's God who will bring the leader to the people of Israel and to this church, which now that I say it, I'm terrified, so sorry. But it is God who ordained this transition to Joshua. It is God's direction. Joshua was called to step in. He was called to step in a lead after Moses. You ever heard him before? Moses, not Charleston Heston, but Moses, right? Moses, Mr. Tablets, chucking them down at a golden idol. Mr. I'm going to break a rock and have water come out. Mr. I'm going to lead him through the Red Sea. Moses! Hey, Joshua, follow him. This is who Joshua was commanded to follow, one of the greatest leaders of the people. And Moses did amazing things, did he not? And now Joshua is called in to do that. But here's the deal. God calls several different people. Within his service in the church, it's not just the senior pastor who God calls. God calls a children's pastor. God calls a music pastor. God calls all sorts of people. And it is not just the senior pastor who God calls. And in fact, there are so many amazing men and women who serve so faithfully, who have discipled so many people in so many roles that would never consider being a senior pastor, nor want to. They'd look at it as being fired. A friend of mine who lives in Pittsburgh is in his I'll be respectful. I think he's in his early 50s. And he has been in youth ministry for over 20 years. Some of you of that demographic are saying he's crazy. He is one of my absolute heroes. The way that man serves those kids is unbelievable and humbling to me. Because he's not just serving teenagers, he's serving people who he wants them to grow into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Joshua had his role. We all have a role no matter what. And God isn't just using one type of person. God is using everybody into the ministry. The deal is he's also using you. Your spiritual formation and growth, your transition in your faith that's constantly moving is not my responsibility. God has called you to serve him and follow him faithfully, and no matter what you do, are you a farmer, are you a lawyer, are you a parent, whatever, God has called you to what you do. And you have the opportunity to serve him and love him faithfully in the place he has called you. So notice the description. In verse 18, God gives a description of Joshua. He is a man in whom is the spirit of leadership. Joshua allowed God to develop him in the role he had. At no position did Joshua ever try to usurp Moses. No point did Joshua ever try to take control of anything without God asking him to do it. But God recognized, like, look, here's a man. Here's a person that has a spirit of leadership who will do amazing things. And Joshua was faithful to Moses. He was faithful to God, and God blessed it and saw it. So it doesn't matter if you're a parent, if you're a welder. It doesn't matter. We're faithful to God where you are planted, and God will bless that. It's amazing. Now, another part of the transition was how Joshua wasn't how it was communicated to the people. How are the people to know who's going to take over from Moses? Look at verse 19 and 20. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. Okay, why make such a big deal about this? Why couldn't he just have Joshua over for a cup of coffee and say, hey, Joshua, so I'm looking to retire, and there's this area I think you're doing a good job. I'd love to have you take on kind of this thing as I kind of transition out, and I'd like you to take over and just do it in public, and they'll just know. Why didn't he do that? Why make this big spectacle about Joshua turning it over? There is a value in making it utterly public and showing the support of the leader of who he is. Moses is saying, look, follow him. This is who God is giving us. So the whole Israelite community would trust and obey Joshua just as they have trusted and obeyed Moses. Then they wouldn't come in and was like, well, who's this guy? No, he was over there doing that. Now he's telling us to do this. I'm not listening to this guy. But now it's public. Moses saying, look, listen to Joshua. Listen to Joshua. This is where it's at. It's transparency, it's openness, and it's God's plan for everybody. Okay? Now, when we see this, look at this in verse 21. God directs how Joshua's leadership is to function, the practical function. Verse 21. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in. So Joshua is given a lot of authority, but not unlimited authority. No human in God's plan has unlimited authority. I don't, your advisory council doesn't, your DS doesn't. Nobody has unlimited authority except God. We are accountable to other people. I'm accountable to you. You are accountable to me. The advisory, we are accountable to each other. And that supports us and encourages us and holds us up together. That is how it is gone. There are limitations on our authority. So even now, Joshua isn't alone. He didn't just say, hey, Joshua, take this and go. No. He has people with him that are supporting him side by side and encouraging him and moving forward in the transition The people of Israel were open to that. We as a church need to be open to that. I need your support. I need to support you. Your advisory council needs your prayer and support. They will pray and support you. I guarantee it. This is done in community. It is not done. There is not a single person who's just running the ship. Moses knew that. Joshua knows that. And we as a church know that. Now, that's a brief outline of this transition. Now, I say brief because I'm a preacher, so bear with me. But that's a brief understanding, setup, and how the transition was run. Okay? So now, we're going to turn over to Joshua 1. Because this passage in Numbers talked to us about Moses, how Moses communicated with Joshua, how God communicated to Moses. Now we're going to talk about what happens with Joshua. It's been transitioned. It's been moved over. Now, how is God going to communicate with Joshua? How is Joshua going to communicate with the people? We're going to turn over to Joshua chapter 1. The first thing, God told Joshua to get ready. He said, get ready, Joshua. Here we go. After the death of Moses, chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. See, here we have more information about Joshua's capabilities, his leadership potential. We know a little bit more about who he is. The Lord spoke to Joshua, and Joshua heard the Lord. This is essential to spiritual leadership. It's vital that the spiritual leader hears God, spend times with God, and knows God. A lot has been made. There's leadership podcasts, there's leadership books, and all are good. All help our personal development if you're in the leadership role. But a spiritual leader, the number one main thing is they need to be connected with God. Again, this is not just a pastor's responsibility. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a leadership role, you have a responsibility to be connected with Jesus in humble communication. We must hear God's voice because our primary function is to hear God and do what he's asking us to do. The next thing we see in the transition is the timing. The timing of the transition. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a good time for a transition. But it was already set up. See, Joshua was faithful to Moses. He was faithful to Moses until death. He was faithful to God through the whole thing. The whole time. And Joshua served faithfully and willingly in the place that God had placed him. Until the time came to whatever God wanted to do in his life. See, Moses, we talked about that. Moses did some amazing things, did he not? I mean, besides killing the person way back when, he did some amazing things. He led the people out of bondage. He led them up to the promised land. He led them through the wilderness. Some of us question his navigational skills, but he led them through the wilderness. Some of you get that joke later. So Moses did some amazing things. And he is celebrated, and these events are celebrated even to this day in the nation of Israel. And they should never be forgotten. Living Hope Wesleyan Church has done some amazing things. Some amazing things. And your history should never be forgotten. You should never forget who is here. You should never forget the things that have happened. You should never forget the successes, the joys, and the struggles you've had. You should remember those often. But God wasn't done with Israel. And God's not done with us. God wasn't done with Israel. God didn't say, hey, Israel, I'm going to take you up to the promised land and let you look in. You can window shop, but you can't ever have it. God says, no, I want to take you into the promised land. That's what I want to give you. I love window shopping for cars. I'll drive car lots all day long because that's free. Right? That's cheap and free, but the next step is the challenging one. Moses led them up to the promised land, and that was his responsibility. God says, I'm not done with you yet, nation of Israel. I am not done with you. My promise is to lead you into the promised land. And that was Joshua's role, is to lead them in. Accomplishments should never be forgotten, but God's timing is perfect. I want you to hear I'm preaching to myself because I haven't sold a house. God's timing is perfect. Kirby, it's perfect. God's timing is perfect. He's got it under control. And he's called us to a time just like this, right? But we have to prepare. We have to prepare for what God is going to do because we're not called to just look in and see the goodness. We are called to go into it. So we have to prepare. The nation of Israel had to prepare as well. They had to get ready for what was next. Look at this in verse 2. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. God's saying, get ready. So that one time that I ran track in high school, I ran the 4x400 hurdles. I say running them loosely. Okay? We would get up to the line in the starter gate. I remember the first time I did it, everybody put their feet in those little block deals. And I got up and I'm like, oh, there's blocks. I didn't use them. I just stood there. Okay. So, and the starter, the official says, get ready, get set, and shoots a little gun thingy, right? Off we went. And which I usually finish close to last, but we went, right? It says, get ready. But they did two things, right? Get ready, get set. They taught us something. We're supposed to get ready for something's going to happen, right? Get ready, get set. Something's going to happen. We know what it is. We just don't, yeah, right? God is saying to the people of Israel and to us, I believe, get ready and get set. Because what's the next word? Go. Go. He tells the nation of Israel, get ready, get set. Go into the promised land. For us, we're at get ready, get set. And we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for that transition, for God to say go. We don't really know yet. We don't know when it's going to happen, not really what it's going to look like. The roof may cave in. We don't know. But God is saying, get ready, get set. Are we going to get ready? And that phrase is go. Because he was about to fulfill his promises with Israel. Look at this in Joshua 1, 3 and 4. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. God was about to bring them into a place of great blessing. An amazing blessing. He was going to expand their territory and do all that. And you know, there are two words that I love to hear from God. Two simple words. I will. You know, when God says that, I will, to me, like, I will sell your house, Kirby. Yes, I know. I will. But it's such an assurance, it's such an encouragement to know that he's there. Those simple words can mean so much, and it's the real difference. God says, I will give you what I promised. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. The challenge then becomes, says, when those two words happen, it says, hey, Living Hope Wesleyan Church, I will. The next step is in our faith. It's where the practical application of our faith comes in. Well, we have the faith to accept the I will and go. Will Joshua have the faith to hear the I will and go into the promised land? Because I tell you, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be wars for him. There's going to be challenges, the people and everything else. It's not going to be easy, but God says, I will. Will he have the faith to step out? Because in Hebrews 11, 6, it reminds us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. God gives it, but we have to believe it. Do we and will we? That's often the challenge when we're called to expand and move into new territory, not just physical territory, but maybe spiritual territory, discomfort, physical space territory. Who knows? There's going to be new territory for Living Hope Wesleyan Church. Well, we have the faith to step into that territory because God is saying, I will be there with you. When our comfort zone is challenged, when what church looks like to us starts to change, maybe when we see people that don't look like us. But you know what? Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them too. Well, we have the faith to trust God when he says, I will be there with you. Because it's not always going to be easy. We're not going to have a physical conflict. We're not going to go fisticuffs with the church down the street. But we're going to have challenges. We're going to have hiccups because God says, I will be with you. But that doesn't mean it's going to be a clear, smooth sailing road. Pastor Andrew reminded that last week when he said the road is narrow. And it's rough. A life of faith. Will we be able to do that? But here's the awesome part. Look at verse 5. This is the assurance God gives Joshua. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's two assurances or promises in those verses I want to highlight. The first promise is the promise of God's presence. It says, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. What's the secret of Moses' success? It was the presence of God in his life. In Exodus 3, we read about this story where Moses, who we probably think is a little crazy, is talking into a bush. I'd think you're crazy if you're talking to a tree. I'm just going to put that out there. So he's talking to a bush. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. And he's talking to God. And God is saying, Moses, you're going to do all these things. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to free the people. You're going to do this stuff. And Moses is like, no, I ain't. Because I can't. Look at all these things that I cannot do. And God is saying, I will be with you. Look at this in Exodus 3. It says this. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. That's what God's saying to Joshua as well. See, none of us are sufficient for the things God asks us to do. It doesn't matter how much talent you have, how great you are, how much money you have. None of us are sufficient for when God calls you to step out and go, you're not good enough. There's your pep talk. Neither am I. We're not good enough. And this idea flies in the face of that ill-advised comment that says, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. Baloney. There are things in your life that will be more than you can handle. I'm sorry. But you know what's awesome? Yes, it's not more than God can handle. See, God is sufficient. God is strong enough. God is patient enough and faithful enough to get us through those things that we cannot handle. If we could handle it all, we don't need God. And by golly, I need God because I can't handle it. There are things in our life that we need that promise of God's presence. So in the midst of our transition, things are going to be and kind of already are at times kind of just weird and unsettled and just awkward, like puberty. It's going. Yes, I said puberty in church. It's just things are different. And sometimes transitions and differences are challenging. But there's an awesomeness at the end of go if we are faithful to what God is asking us to do. And that's when we hold on to the second promise. It's the promise of success. I want you to listen to God's confidence in Joshua. Okay, hear that? God's confidence in Joshua. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Notice this isn't indicating Joshua's confidence. It's not saying, hey, Joshua's like, oh yeah, God, I got this. No biggie. This is indicating God's confidence in Joshua. Because I can imagine the conversation, and so this is not in the Bible. This is my paraphrase. Hey, Joshua, you will lead the people into the promised land that I promised Moses. No. Because you know what, God, I've been doing this under Moses for a long time. I can do that really good. And yeah, Moses gave me a little bit more instruction. I can handle that, but what you're asking me to do is too much. I'm not qualified for that. There's no way I can do that. Does this sound familiar? Maybe you've had one of these talks with God. I've had this conversation a lot. Had it about, 2 months ago. Actually, probably had, no, I had it Monday. Excuse me. Yep. But God says, no, you will do this. Because he's there with him. He's there with us. He's there with me. And he says, you know what, Joshua, I know you may not believe in yourself. I know you just lost a good friend. You lost like one of the greatest leaders of all time. I get it. I know you're feeling inadequate right now. But you know what? You will do this because I will be with you. And this is my promise to you. Hold on to that promise. Are we going to hold on to that promise as well? Trust me. If you read these verses 6 through 9, there's this little phrase, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Verses 6 through 9. That's repeated three times. Three times in only three verses. That's a lot. You know, there's been scientific studies that have done about repeating a message until somebody really comprehends the point of it. Okay? So all these studies were done. How many times do I need to repeat something before you'll get a hold of it and believe it? Well, the study says between 3 and 5 times. So if I repeat something 3 and 5 times, then you start to hold on to it. Any more than that, it starts to lose its effect. God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. How many times? 3. Science just proved God again. 3 times, be strong and courageous. I think he's trying to make a point. Joshua, will you be strong and courageous even though you're terrified, even though you don't know what's going on? Because victory is not going to come without battles. Victory is not going to come easy. Living Hope Wesleyan Church, will you be strong and courageous in this transition? It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to say it's going to be miserable. Jesus, please don't let it be miserable. I'm excited. I truly am. And I hope you are. But a lot of times these transitions change things so drastically that I've seen way too many churches split over things. Because we all come into an idea of what we want church to be. We want it to reflect what we value, what we want. And things may not look that way. And it gets ugly. Will we be strong and courageous with each other through this process? Will we be strong and courageous to support each other and encourage each other? Joshua had people around him, spiritual, strong people around him, supporting him, encouraging him, guiding him, answering things. Will we do that for each other? So I want to challenge you. Would you pray for me, please? Not just like, oh man, I'm going to pray for you and never do it or forget, like the moment you turn around, because guilty. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Pastor Nathan and Sheila, our staff, our families. Pray for our advisory council. Would you encourage us? Check in on us? I guarantee you, we are praying for you. We will do everything we can to encourage you, and we will do everything we can to check in on you. Because we're in this together. And that is the goal and that is the beauty of all of this and how God is doing it. Will we be strong and courageous? There's a story about a man who claims to have cut the tail off of a man-eating lion with only his pocket knife. And somebody has asked him, well, why the tail? And why didn't you cut off the head? To which the man responded, well, somebody had already done that. We're not going to have any man-eating lions. But a lot of the challenges we're going to come across are still going to have a head on them. And how are we going to confront them? How are we going to address them? How are we going to meet them? Because God's promise of victory doesn't always mean comfort, doesn't always mean ease. There's going to be times where we need to encourage each other and support each other. Seek God out in everything. How do we do this? Verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua and Israel's success depended upon being in God. There's a great emphasis on the word of God and their attitude towards it. Israel was about to go into Canaan, about to go into the promised land. How are they going to do that without the support of God? They couldn't. They needed to keep the word of God. We think meditation is like this weird thing. Meditation is a very scriptural idea. It means a focused thought and intention. Oftentimes we're going to leave here and we don't ever think or consider the word of God until next Sunday. I encourage you and challenge you, get into the Word of God. We provide scriptures up here and we challenge you to use the YouVersion app. You have more access to the Word of God than ever before. I challenge you to meditate. Think about God's Word to you. Get into it. What is He saying to me? What is He saying to us? What is He saying to the church? What is He saying to Madison, to our region? What is He saying? Meditate on it. Think about God's Word throughout the week and not just until next Sunday. But think about it. How do they stay on track? How will they stay on track? They're going to meditate on the Word of God. The next thing we're going to do is we're not going to let this book of law depart from our mouths. That means more than just telling somebody. There is that element. We got to talk about it. We talk about our faith. We share our faith. We look for something and that others that are important and not just ourselves, something that provides a sense of comfort. Because no matter what the transition brings, my hope and prayer is that we will stay hungry for God's word and that God's word would permeate out of our lives, would permeate our mouths into our lives and at our jobs and in our families and in our communication at the restaurant, whatever, that it'd be filled with graciousness and salt and light. I dare say that are we going to be allowed to have our spiritual toes stepped on by God? Not sure. See, followers of Jesus Christ, we need to step into the ugliness of this world. Not just hold it to ourselves on Sunday morning. We need to step into it. We need to step in and see it around us. It doesn't take long to recognize how much hatred there is in this world. Are we going to be that hope to this world and step into it with the grace of God and allow God to do that? Will we have the faith to step forward? Don't let it depart from your mouth. The last part of our daily life, verse 8 says, be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. We're going to draw courage from God. We're going to draw inspiration from God. We're going to draw hope from God. It says, be strong and courageous. That's where we get it. We get it from being connected with God. We talked about the spiritual leader. That's what you do. That's what we all do. We are connected with God. That's where we will find our strength and our courage. Moses did it. Joshua did it. So like Moses, Joshua does what God tells him to do. Verse 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Again, did you notice Joshua could not do this alone? I would be incredibly arrogant if I felt I could do this by myself. We cannot do this transition. We cannot do a faith alone. The faith of Jesus Christ is meant to be led and lived in community and support and encouragement of one another. We should be the hope of this world. We should be the one lifting up and encouraging and blessing people with God. Would you do that with your pastoral staff, with your advisory council, with your district? And we are going to do that with you. And they're going to do that with me. It's going to be a beautiful transition. I'm really excited. Look what happens when people work together. Verse 16 and 17. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we have fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They're saying to him, hey, Joshua, we will follow you. We will give you the same respect we gave Moses. We will do whatever you ask us to do. One condition. You listen to God. Because if you listen to God, we know that we're following God and not just some random human. That gives me encouragement and a challenge. and I take very serious, and I know Pastor Andrew, Pastor Nathan do as well, so is your advisory council. We take it very serious. They said, we will follow you, Joshua. We will do what you're asking. So in turn, we have an obligation to love and serve God. We need to reflect that leadership. So my challenge to you, Living Hope Wesleyan Church, will we be strong and courageous in the transition? Will we go through the bumps, the valleys, and all this stuff, supporting each other, loving each other, praying for each other, lifting each other up? Will we do this together? Transitions can be fun. They're exciting. And I love it. So my prayer for all of you, and I want you to know my heart, that when all is said and done, Living Hope Wesleyan Church in my life, and I know your pastoral staff, will lift up the name of Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, and risen again. That he will be glorified. Not me. Not Living Hope. But Jesus. So that's our hope. So you join me in doing that? Let's pray. Father, God, it's quite the task that you've called us to. Not just me, not just the pastors, but everybody. Everybody at Living Hope. God, help us to give to you our struggles, our joys, our fears, but also understanding that we need to do this together so that when you're spurring us on, when you're challenging us to pray for each other, to lift each other up, or maybe even question something, that we would do that. God, as a follower you've placed in this position, God, direct my thoughts that I would meditate on your word, that they wouldn't depart from my mouth, so much so that I will be listening to you and hearing you and leading these people as to the best of my ability, but knowing that that's not sufficient because nothing is. But God, I'm going to depend on you. God, may we all depend on you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a God who is strong enough to handle all of this, who can handle the murky water and all the mess and all the joys and excitements that are going to happen. Thank you for the witness of Moses and Joshua and this beautiful transition and power. And God, when you say get ready, we're going to be. Help us to step out in faith when you say go, whatever that looks like. Thank you for being our God and our Savior, our Lord, our friend, counselor and comforter. You are enough. So God, we give you this day, we give you this week. We love you. Help us to love you more.